down from the northern foliage watch. I'll be back tomorrow morning on the Bob Steele Show. This is AAA's Mike Allen flying WTIC 01.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bruce DePriest with the Traveler's Weather Service Report. Well, all the storminess around the nation this evening is confined to the western states. Some snow is falling in the Rockies, some heavy snow in the northern Rockies, while some pretty heavy rains fall in parts of the plains. Some floods, a local flooding, was reported in Texas today. That storm system is several days away from us. All we have to look forward to is more high pressure, more fine weather for the next 2 days. For Connecticut and the Springfield area, clear and becoming cold again tonight. Lows in the upper 20s and 30s. Then for tomorrow, bright sunshine and it turning a little warmer. Highs tomorrow afternoon, 60 to 65 with very light winds. Clear and not quite as chilly tomorrow night. And the outlook for Wednesday, sunny and turning even warmer with highs 65 to 70. On the Sound tomorrow, winds light and variable. Visibility excellent. And at Old Saybrook, high tide at 10:30 tomorrow morning. Over Hartford now, we have clear skies. The wind is from the northeast at 6 miles per hour, dew point 28, and it's 55 degrees.
The WTIC top story this hour, the possibility of a conspiracy raised in the Sadat assassination.
This has been the 6 o'clock special, 30 minutes of news, sports, stocks, and weather.
Phil Hall with Dana Whalen, WTIC 1080 News. Next, talk sports with Arnold Dean.
Arnold Dean, sports talk.
WTIC 1080 invites you to talk sports with Arnold Dean. Dial the Dean of Sports at 522-0200.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome. We'll be here until 8 o'clock tonight. And, well, this is the fifth anniversary program. I don't know when I've known less about what we were going to do in a show than I do tonight. But I understand that there are a few surprises, a couple of folks are going to call and say hello during the course of the show, some that we might have had occasion to have as guests at one time or another over the years, and hopefully some exciting things are going to happen as we reach this milestone date for Arnold Dean Sports. And it's also an open line show, so whatever you'd like to talk about in the world of sports, we are agreeable. Call us at 522-0200. Don't try it right now, though, because the lines are all tied up. So we'll go to those phone lines in just a moment on WTIC 1080. If you enjoy handicrafts, you'll enjoy shopping at the Craft Basket Factory Outlet in Colchester, Connecticut. The Craft Basket is the factory outlet store for S&S Leather Company, a national crafts manufacturer serving millions of customers a year. As a factory outlet, everything in the store is at least half off the normal selling price. That's at least half off the normal selling price on crewel, needlework, Christmas projects, wood kits, macrame, and lots more. Their craft supplies like silk flowers, easy-to-make kits for children, supplies for making wreaths, placemats, rugs, and wall decorations. The inventory at the Craft Basket Factory Outlet is tremendous. So plan a visit soon and take advantage of tremendous half-price savings on all first-quality craft supplies and kits. And now is the time to start shopping for your Christmas gifts, so see for yourself and save. Take Route 2 to Route 17 in Colchester, left at the exit, follow into town. If you like crafts and you'd like to save money, the Craft Basket Factory Outlet in Colchester, Connecticut is for you. All right, we are set to go to the phone lines at 522-0200. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hi, Arnold Dean. I'd like to congratulate you on your five-year anniversary tonight. Well,
thank you very much.
I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Did you catch the Patriot game yesterday?
Yes, I was doing a lot of dial twisting yesterday. I caught much of it.
I was really glad to see Steve Grogan get in there. I've been a fan of his, and I think he should win the starting job back for the game against Houston this week.
You know, the amazing thing is, not only did he provide an offensive spark, but when he came in, it seemed that the team responded defensively, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, like, if Kavanaugh didn't throw the interception, they would have probably won the game. But the other thing is, like, I know everybody has, like, everybody's a great coach after the game Monday, you know. But Ron Earhart, I think it was a real big mistake on the first series when Grogan came in, when they had a fourth down and 3 yards to go for a touchdown. It was in the third quarter. They were down by two touchdowns. Why not kick the for sure field goal? And then they got the other touchdown, the field goal. Then when they were driving at the end of the game, they could have got a field goal to win the game.
Wow.
I just don't understand. I can't comprehend how Earhart, you know, well, I know 3 yards, you should be able to get 3 yards when you're that close. But
yeah, that was his
feeling,
too. Yeah, yeah. But that's a tough call. I don't know that I would have disagreed with him at the time, so I don't know if I can, in retrospect, disagree with him now. But obviously it turns out to be a very critical call, as you say. The thing that I wonder about is how long are the Jets going to be able to stay with Leahy missing field goals? He has enough leg, but he just doesn't seem to get the field goals that they really need.
Yeah, like last two weeks ago against Miami. But do you think Steve Grogan should have a starting job back? Because I don't think he really ever lost this year. They ran against, well, Baltimore. He had a pretty good game the first over.
Yeah.
But then, you know, against Philadelphia, I never really thought he should have lost the starting job,
mm-hmm.
really.
Well, he may have gotten it back again yesterday. I sure think so.
God, the way he played the whole team, you know.
Yep, they responded very well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks a lot, Arnold.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Wait.
Okay, we now have somebody on a special line here. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hi, Arnold. It's Rita from Eastern Basketball.
Hello, Rita.
Hi, hey. I just wanted to wish you a happy 5th anniversary.
Well, thank you. It must be a Monday if Rita's calling.
That's right. I guess we'll be together pretty soon again, huh?
Yeah, very soon. You have no idea how many times your name is brought up during the course of the summer here.
I had the good fortune to be able to go to the press conference, the Big East press conference last week at Madison Square Garden, and I got a chance to chat with Dom a little bit, and he tells me that he's agreed to do your show on a regular basis this year.
Well, we are certainly hoping we can work something out, yes. I'd love to be able to do that. It's been so successful with you, Rita, that I'd like to be able to do the same thing with Coach Perno this year. It would be great.
He, of course, thanked me for defending him all the time and hoped that... you know, we would be able to continue our show, and I said I thought we would.
Well, there's no question about that. As a matter of fact, I've been going to give you a call one of these days. I assume that sometime next month we'll get together with a special show on recruiting, and then we'll go ahead on a regular basis again toward the end of November.
Right. Our first issue will be out, sometime before Thanksgiving, I would think about the 18th, November 18th,
mm-hmm.
and then...
As I recall,
I'll be an expert again.
It was around Thanksgiving time last year that we started to go regularly.
Yeah.
What do you think about that Eastern Football Basketball Conference now? I thought that the Madison Square Garden deal that was struck up with the Big East might be a big factor in keeping Syracuse and BC in the Big East, but I understand now that the Meadowlands might make an equally or even more attractive basketball proposal for those football schools, and that might, again, entice BC and Syracuse.
We've got some very creative leadership here, Arnold. I couldn't imagine Dave Gavitt going down or putting up with this talk of this conference without a really good fight. And, signing up with Madison Square Garden for $1 million as a guarantee certainly, I'm sure, had to sweeten the pot for the administrations of BC and Syracuse, as mm-hmm. you suggest. Last Wednesday was a press conference. I think on Thursday that those schools were meeting again, and I think something had to do with Pitt, whether or not they were gonna still consider coming in for next year, or if in fact they were gonna go independent. Because I was laughing with Dr. Tom Davis at BC. And he said, I don't really know what's going to happen, he said, but I'll know a little bit more tomorrow, so I don't mm-hmm. really know what happened. But this is the first I've heard of the counteroffer by the Meadowlands.
Yeah, I don't know that that's official at this point, but it is something that is being considered. And, of course, the Meadowlands made what the Big East described as an equally attractive offer along with Madison Square Garden for that Big East package.
Well, they claim, I think what was involved, Arnold, was probably a little bit more money from Madison Square Garden, and then the idea that the Garden still had certain things that the Meadowlands couldn't offer, i.e. their tradition, the fact that so many of the former players from those schools had played there, the fact that there, I forget the exact figure they gave out, but something like 300,000 living alums from the Big East schools.
Yes, that's
lived
right.
In the metropolitan New York area.
Mm-hmm.
And, they're all very... very serious considerations in something like this, and I think it either the Big East was very happy with the bids that they got from both the Meadowlands and Madison Square Garden. I don't think the Nassau Coliseum really was a serious consideration, although they did open the bids up to them as well.
Yeah, either one of these had to be money in the bank, though, I'll tell you.
Great
credibility for the league.
When I was sitting with some of the coaches and assistant coaches, and Mike Burke did the ceremonial presentation of one of those large kind of dummy checks, to Dave Gavitt.
Mm-hmm.
And And we were sitting there, and one guy, one of the coaches who should remain nameless, turned around to me and said, whatever happened to amateur athletics?
But it was...
Arnold, it was it was incredible. You know, you're talking $1 million.
Yeah.
And this is basketball. You can imagine what goes down in football.
Oh, brother.
And I think this is just the beginning.
See, even in October, we have plenty to talk about when college basketball is the subject. Rita, I can't tell you how much I appreciate your call. It's always nice to hear from you. And
you're very welcome, Arnold, and many, many happy anniversaries to come.
Well, thank you kindly, and you'll be a part of them. We'll be talking to you again before a month is out.
Okay.
Thank you, Rita.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That's Rita Napolitano from Eastern Basketball Magazine. Nice to talk with her. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Hello, Arnold.
Hi.
What do you honestly think of George Steinbrenner's blow-ups, especially to Rick Cerrone? I don't think it was justified for what he did after Cerrone just struck out, and the frame of mind that Cerrone was in, it just came in a bad time. But honestly, what do you think of his outburst?
Well, I was pretty angry about it. I think you don't have to tell a guy who's just struck out with the tying run at third base in the ninth inning of a playoff game that he has committed a faux pas. Or you don't have to tell a guy who has been caught off base that he's done something stupid.
Right.
As Cerrone said in the interview last night, that he'll probably make more of those mistakes in the future. And I think one thing Steinbrenner should remember, too, is that the mistakes that were made were aggressive mistakes.
Well, that's it. Yeah.
They overran bases. Winfield's running into a force because the shortstop took a ball in front of him, but he had no business wandering off second base. It was a dumb play, and I'm not trying to defend it, but it was an aggressive dumb play, and he should be even more upset if they were less aggressive than that. But I thought it was ill-timed, and I think from the quotes that I read in the New York papers, Cerrone really gave it back to him pretty good. That might mean that he'll be traded, but at least he can look himself in the mirror when he shaves.
Do you really think that Cerrone will be traded? Because the picture that I got was that he was going to be a regular member of the Yankees. He's going to be their catcher for the future, and that would be very hard to swallow if he's traded.
There's only one catcher that I could see him being traded for, but I would not discount that possibility.
Okay.
Because, that's Gary Carter of Montreal. Because Gary Carter is, in my mind, the best catcher in baseball, and he's going to be a free agent after next season, so Montreal probably figures, hey, we're going to lose him anyway. Let's try to get somebody else in here for right now, and then we'll worry about re-signing him later on. So they might possibly make a deal. If they can't get Gary Carter, I would think the Yanks are making an awful mistake in letting Cerrone get away. Maybe they're making a mistake anyway, because he does a lot for New York. It's his hometown. He's a very able catcher, offensively and defensively.
And one last question. What did you think of Rob Carpenter for the Giants yesterday? He finally got a 100-yard game.
Broke in with a bang, didn't he?
That's right. That's
and
right.
The Giants were more than respectable yesterday.
Yes.
You look back to last week, a game that they should not have lost to Green Bay, and boy, they could have really been in the driver's seat, huh? But who knows? They still might win. If they have a 500 season.
That would be great.
Yep, that's right.
Okay,
thank you. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. I understand the someone on the special line here again. Hi.
Hi, Arnold.
Yeah.
This is not George Steinbrenner.
Hello, Bob.
But how are you?
Bob Steele. I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
Well, I'm all right. I just wanted to congratulate you, Arnold. I'm not going to keep you on the phone because I know you got a lot of callers. But I just wanted to say good luck on your 5 years of sports talk on TIC. And I want to wish you a lot more anniversaries. And I'm just thinking, this fellow Columbus has given you some competition today, and getting the public's attention.
Yeah, that's right.
I couldn't call him. I couldn't get him on the phone. There was no answer. So I thought I'll call you, but you deserve it more because I think that what you're doing is a lot tougher than sailing around on a boat.
I don't have a crew that's helping me either, you see. I'm kind of out here all by myself with one oar.
Well, you've done a great job, Arnold, not only on Sports Talk, but on TIC for a good many more years than 5 years, and I just thought I'd call up and say good luck to you and tell you what a great job you've done.
Well, thank you, Bob. I really appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks a million.
Okay, Arnold.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, I'm very proud of 5 years, but it's sort of pale by comparison with Bob's, huh? I was just thinking, 5 years, what a long time. And then I hear Bob Steele's voice. Wow. Since 1942, I guess. Now, there is longevity, friends. I should acknowledge the fact my friend Albert Hamra came up with a huge cake, which is suitably decorated with frosting and lettering that says, I hope one of the listeners calls in with the right answer. Oh, who's the young fellow that just stopped in the control room there? I cannot believe it. Well, we'll be introducing a couple of folks you may have heard of at one time or another here in just a moment. You're listening to Arnold Dean Sports. Lines are all busy. We'll go right back to the phones shortly on WTIC 1080.
I'm holding a remarkable 35-millimeter camera. You probably don't know the name of it unless you've been to Japan. In Japan, where everyone has an eye for cameras, people have been looking into this name for over 40 years. What's behind it? Technology so advanced, we've introduced a camera powered by the sun and an SLR lens that focuses by itself. The name? Ricoh. R-I-C-O-H. You can see one at any fine camera store. Ricoh is a name worth looking into.
Brewster's, where everyone buys building materials at low contractor prices, has a suggestion for redecorating cracked, ugly ceilings. Instead of replastering and painting, why not install Owens Corning fiberglass ceilings? Then you'll never have to plaster or paint again. Instead, in just a few hours and with a few simple tools, you can lay in Owens Corning ceiling panels and create a fresh new look for your ceiling. Owens Corning ceilings have a lot of advantages that your present ceiling doesn't have, too. They're washable, lightweight, sound-absorbing, and so durable they even carry a 10-year limited warranty against warping. At Brewster's, you'll be able to choose from many beautiful designs. There's even a thermal series that lets you insulate as well as decorate. Visit Brewster's to learn how easily and inexpensively you can install an Owens Corning ceiling, a beautiful, durable ceiling that will free you from painting or plastering for good. Brewster's is at Brainerd Field in Hartford and on Woodmont Road in Milford.
Arnold Dean Sports Talk continues in a moment. Dial 522-0200.
The WTIC Travelers Weather Service forecast for Connecticut and the Springfield area. On through tonight, we'll have clear skies and becoming quite chilly again. It'll be dropping through the 40s this evening and the mercury dipping into the upper 20s and 30s later tonight. For tomorrow, bright sunshine and turning a little warmer, high 60 to 65 with very little wind. Clear, not quite as cold tomorrow night. And the outlook for Wednesday, sunny and turning even warmer with highs 65 to 70. In Hartford now, it's 55.
And the lines are all busy at 522-0200, so let's go right back to it again. I saw Gordie Howe step into the control room a little while ago. I'm sure Gordie will come in and say hello. And Frank Benetieri is here. Frank, I guess the local Goodwill ambassador for the Jimmy Fund. He's done so much wonderful work for that very worthy charity up in Boston. Hi, this is Arnold Dean.
Arnold, caller from Waterbury.
Yes, sir.
Hey, listen, I don't know whether you know this or not, but you got a big plug on the Yankee radio broadcast last Saturday. Fran Healy gave you a big plug.
I understand. Did he mention the anniversary?
I'm not sure on that. I came in late, and then the Scooter said that he listened to you once. I was wondering if you can get the Scooter as a guest on your show.
I would love to get Phil Rizzuto on. We've had Fran two or three times, of course.
Oh, yeah, I called him up once before.
I'd love to get Rizzuto on sometime, it's been kind of difficult, but I'll continue to work on it. It's not a bad idea.
Okay, listen, you know, I have to agree with George Steinbrenner coming down on these ball players because, you know, if I was at work and I made a dumb mistake, I'm sure my boss is going to come down and say, listen, you made a dumb mistake. You should be able to produce better than you're doing. But George Steinbrenner should be able to do the same because he's not paying these guys peanuts. And all they were talking is that these ball players have to execute. They should know what to do at one time. And I'm sorry I disagree with you in saying that, you know, you say that they have to be aggressive.
Mm-hmm. See, my feeling is I agree with Billy Martin's philosophy on this. Do you know Martin will never chew out a ball player after a game in which he has pulled a rock? He will always wait and do it the next day. Earl Weaver does that, too. And I think that's the right approach. I think you wait, and then you can look at it a little bit more objectively, and the heat, the passion of that moment has passed by.
I doubt if Rick Cerrone would get traded.
Yeah.
Well, they would have to get something very good because he is really a super defensive catcher.
Yes, he is. He's one of the best.
Well, I hope you can work on Phil Rizzuto.
Okay.
Because I would like to ask him, how come he's not in the Hall of Fame, and what makes Lou Boudreau a great ball player to be in the Hall of Fame?
Well, as we've said before, gloves don't make it to the Hall of Fame. Bats get there. Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye. It's 10 before 7. By the way, the other night some people were giving me some real difficulty because I had made the statement, which I stand behind completely, that intensity was lacking in the teams that had won the first half because they had very little initiative, very little reason to win the second half of this aberration of a baseball season. And the example I used was Winfield. I said he's stolen successfully 10 out of 11 times this year. Why did he not steal in the second half? Why did he not risk life and limb to slam into the wall after a fly ball? And Winfield was the example. Then the caller disagreed with me, which is fine. Another caller also called in and said, normally I agree with you, but this time I don't agree with you because you said Winfield wasn't trying his best or wasn't trying to win, which is not what I had said at all. And sure enough, I find an article by Mike Shalen that was in the New York Post last Friday, the very day we were talking about, with a direct quote from Winfield, who said, and I'm quoting, "Over the course of the season, there are times that you probably don't do your best. That's only natural. But you sure try to get it on now. You try to do well in these situations." And that's the only point I was making. I'll give you two more examples. Do you think that Bob Watson would have flipped himself into the box seats for that foul pop-up last night, which he got? Or do you think Greg Nettles would have, on the third base side, gone after that foul pop? Did you see the shot he took on his jaw on that concrete corner? Absolutely amazing that he didn't break his jaw. And I'll bet he came up with a funny line about it, too, having heard him in action before. But that's the sort of thing they would not have done 3 and 4 weeks ago. They were not playing with that intensity then. And that was the only point I was trying to establish. Good evening. This is Arnold Dean. Yes.
This is Eileen.
Hi, Eileen.
Fine. How are you?
Good.
I agree with you on George Steinbrenner. I don't think if he insists on chewing a player out, I don't think that he should humiliate him in front of the rest of his teammates. If nothing else, I don't think that he has to do it, in a group atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that it has to be published all over the New York papers.
Yeah, that's one thing in New York, though. You know it'll be published,
yeah, because. It's not fair.
That's right.
You didn't
agree.
See Houston's owner jump up. I mean, they were up 2-0 and blew it in Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And Kansas City went absolutely flat. You didn't see Ewing Kaufman go into tirades, and Cerrone left in tears. But to add to that, I don't know if you know it or not, but George Steinbrenner talked to Rick yesterday, and he apologized to him.
Yes, they did talk. I don't know if you'd call it an apology. I think it was more of an explanation, as I understand it.
Well, he did apologize to him. He sent him a note first, a written note. And then he talked to him, and he said that the statements that they both made to each other are like water off a duck's back.
That's right,
it was in the heat of the moment. So I don't think you'll see Rick Cerrone traded. I really don't.
Well, I hope not.
I think George is too... At least I hope George is smart enough to realize that if he wants Gary Carter, Montreal is going to hold him up.
Oh,
you know?
No question.
I mean, it's just...
And I hope he's not a vindictive man, but we'll find out.
Well, I hope not. And I hope that he doesn't make Willie Randolph his whipping boy either.
Okay.
Which I seriously...
Willie's had a tough year, and I don't know what's going to happen there.
Well, it's one of the few that he's had since he's come.
That's right.
And I think that there's a first time for everything.
I think he's a superb player.
Like Rick Cerrone said, his mistake that he made isn't the first, and it won't be the last, and if it is, he'll be in the Hall of Fame,
mm-hmm.
for doing it,
Yeah.
But I really think that they turned it on last night, and I think maybe, even though the pitchers are going on 3 days, I think maybe, in a way, if you reflect back to 78, when they had a win constantly and couldn't lay down, I think maybe it was the best thing in the world for them to keep them sharp.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you think back to 78, they had to constantly win. And if you remember last year when they won the 103 games, toward the end there, even though they won the 103 games, during the last couple of weeks of the 80 season, they kind of went flat.
Mm-hmm.
And it showed up in the playoffs.
Yep.
So I think maybe it's the best thing in the world that they...
You think they're on their way now, huh?
I hope so.
Okay.
I don't really... I know that we... I know that they took the series at the stadium from Oakland, you know, and they split out there. But who can ever tell?
Yeah, that's for sure. I think the difference is in the bullpen, though, and I think New York will win it.
But what do you think of that Rigetti? Isn't he awesome?
Oh, I mean, he's got to be the outstanding young pitcher in baseball, in my mind.
Incredible.
22 years old.
Absolutely incredible. I mean, that was a chance that he took. He could have hurt himself going out there on 2 days rest. And he just, he only ran out of gas there in the third inning that he pitched and got out of it.
Heck of a player.
Oh, he certainly
Thank
is.
You, Eileen.
You're welcome, Arnie.
Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
It is 5 minutes before 7 on WTIC. A birthday cake.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, which nobody can deny, which nobody can deny, which nobody can deny, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow. Which nobody can deny.
That's the worst rendition I've ever heard in my life.
We were 50
Gordy Howe is here. Chuck Caton. And Mr. Benatieri, how are you, Frank? How you doing? Oh, what is this? They came in with a cake. The birthday candles on it, I guess, had burned down while they were waiting in the hall. Let's see. I have here... beautiful pen on a stand with a mic inscribed, 5 years on the scene, a sportscaster's dream. That's Arnold Dean. How about that? And also a gorgeous plaque, Arnold Dean, in commemoration of 5 years of having his audience give him the answers. Good luck, Frank Benatieri. Isn't that absolutely magnificent? And a card here to go along. I hope you guys are going to cut up the cake here, too. And,
well, we'll cut some things up.
Yeah. Mr. Howe, would you like to sit down and say hello while you're here?
Yes, definitely.
Gordy's been on mic here once or twice before. Yeah. Don't get him too close to that cake there. I think I've got the right microphone turned on. How you doing, Gordy?
Fine, thanks, Arnold.
You're wearing your Whalers green there.
Yeah.
I understand you were second best on the ice today.
Yes, only because I didn't put the blades on.
No.
They had they call practice at 10. They change their minds because they had a little golf outing, get the guys together. So it's that's always a prime reason. It's one of Larry's and Ricky Lee's plans to get the guys a little more coordinated.
That's great.
That helps.
How's your golf game?
It's the togetherness was more coordinated than my golf.
Call from Montreal.
Call from, excuse me, a call from Montreal. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Arnold Dean.
Yeah.
This is Bob Backlund.
Bob Backlund. How you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good.
All the way up in Montreal?
Yes, yes.
Who are you wrestling up there, Bob?
A local man named Raymond Rougeau.
If you need any help, you know where to call me.
Oh, gosh. I probably need a little bit. I called to congratulate you.
Well, thank you, Bob. That's very nice of you.
I understand it's your five-year anniversary tonight.
I'm acting like a five-year-old.
I
That's
hope
right.
You have another successful 5 years.
Well, thank you. I've got one of your neighbors up here. Gordy Howe is here. Frank Benatieri's in the studio with us.
Well, say hello to both of them.
Yeah, we're celebrating.
Oh, I wish I could be there.
Well, I wish you could too, Bob. But you got a little important business.
Yeah,
How's your back, by the way?
It's a little bit better, but I still got to be careful with it.
Yeah. You got slammed around pretty good in that match here in Hartford, I remember.
I got to thank you for doing that, too. I really, really appreciate it.
Oh, I enjoyed it.
You announcing the match.
I had a great time. I can't wait to see you back there again.
Yeah, I think they have a match coming up. Let's see. November 22nd.
Oh, terrific.
I don't know for sure who I'm going to wrestle yet. They haven't decided yet, but... Uh-huh.
November 22nd at the Civic Center. We'll be looking for it.
Okay.
Bob, thanks a million.
Okay.
Good luck to you now.
Okay, bye-bye. Enjoy
bye-bye.
Yourself tonight.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right, that's Bob Backlund calling all the way from Montreal.
I mentioned Albert Hamra came in with one cake. Scott and the guys just came in with another, plus the plaque, card, desk set. I'm absolutely overwhelmed here, so much so that we're going to take a break for the 7 o'clock news and weather information, and then we'll be back, and we're going to cut up the cake and cut up generally, I think, here. And we'll be right back to continue with Arnold Dean Sports. Those of you on hold, please wait. We'll be right back with you after the news and weather at 522-0200 on WTIC 1080 Hartford, the pulse of New England.
And at 7 o'clock, it's 55 degrees. I'm Phil Hall, WTIC News. In-town weather, clear tonight and cold. Temperatures in the upper 20s. A traveler's forecast follows the news. Assassinated President Anwar Sadat's crack troop of bodyguards is being investigated. Milt Fullerton reports a conspiracy is surfacing